You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, March 28, 2022. Baby, I got it. Could the U.S. alone meet Biden's call for 15 BCM more LNG to the EU? Published by Sheetal Nasta. The Biden administration said last Friday it would help ensure deliveries of an additional 15 billion cubic meters, or BCM, of LNG to the European Union, or EU, market in 2022. A frenzy of media articles followed and the targeted increase was widely cited. The April CME NYMEX Henry Hub futures contract rallied nearly 3% to $5.55 per million BTU on Friday, and the stock price for Cheniere Energy, the largest LNG producer in the U.S., jumped 5.5% the same day. But U.S. liquefaction facilities have already been running full tilt and sending record volumes to Europe. So, what does the news really mean for U.S. LNG exports and the domestic gas market? In today's RBN blog, we put that 15 BCM in perspective and distill the key takeaways for U.S. LNG production. We'll start with the announcement itself, which in our view marked a major shift in the administration's stance on natural gas and LNG infrastructure development. The White House last Friday made a joint statement with the European Commission, or EC, which represents the 27 countries in the EU, in which they committed to working with its international partners to reduce Europe's dependence on Russian energy supplies. Together, the EU and US established the Joint Task Force on Energy Security to put in place the parameters of the relationship and ultimately execute on their stated goals. The statement laid out various areas of focus with the aim of achieving Europe's energy security and independence from Russian gas by 2027, including the following. Number 1. Reducing the greenhouse gas intensity of new LNG and gas pipeline infrastructure. Number 2. Improving the regulatory environment to review and expedite LNG export projects on the US side and LNG import, pipeline and storage projects on the EU side. And Number 3. Making progress toward the other goals and targets laid out in the ECEU's proposed REPowerEU plan announced March 8, including displacing 155 BCM of piped Russian gas. Among the most immediate targets in last week's announcement, and one that would affect the U.S. directly, was the commitment to increase LNG deliveries to the EU market by at least 15 BCM in 2022, with further increases expected down the road. Importantly, the statement specified that the goal applies to deliveries to the EU market, not all of Europe, a key distinction, given that the U.S. exports a significant volume to non-EU countries in Europe as well, particularly the U.K. and Turkey. We'll explain more in a bit. Additionally, based on what we gleaned from the statement and the related press briefing, the increase in volumes to the EU would be accomplished by rerouting cargoes from other destinations, namely Asia. And, finally, presumably the increase in volumes would be from the baseline of the 2021 average, and not the 2022 average export volume, which is much higher. The senior administration official conducting the press briefing acknowledged as much. How the Biden administration expects to ensure that the goal of 15 BCM is met and where they intend the incremental volumes to come from was less clear, but the background press call on the joint statement provided some clues. When pressed by journalists, the official noted the much higher volumes of U.S. LNG already going to Europe this year and attributed that in part to arrangements with international partners, especially in Asia, to route more LNG to Europe this winter. They went on to say that after talking with partners in Asia and elsewhere, they're confident that the U.S. can sustain the higher rates of delivery to the EU to hit the 15 BCM target. It bears clarifying here that U.S. LNG facilities are owned and operated by corporations, not the government. Long-term contracts between terminal operators and international buyers, i.e. off-takers, for available liquefaction capacity at each facility largely dictate how much is exported. Some of those volumes, about 40% of U.S. offtake contracts, are locked in for delivery into specific regions by utility customers. The remaining 60% or so offer more destination flexibility for U.S. LNG, subject to market conditions and the resulting economics between the U.S. and destination markets. See the offtake capacity table in the LNG Voyager report for details by facility. So, it's unclear how the administration's involvement influences or incentivizes U.S. offtakers. What we can do, however, is parse recent U.S. export statistics to Europe and the factors driving those volumes to answer the big questions at hand: how much of that incremental LNG could U.S. facilities fulfill, and what are the implications for the domestic gas market? We walked through the math of potential upside in U.S. exports to Europe and help is on its way, but let's look at it again here in the context of the 15 BCM commitment. First, to put the 15 BCM in perspective, as we explained in You Don't Own Me, to convert from cubic meters, a commonly used unit in the European gas market, to cubic feet, the U.S. standard, you multiply by 35.3. So an increase of 15 BCM in 2022 would equate to about 529.5 BCF this year, or 1.45 BCF per day more in LNG export volumes to the EU year-on-year. 529.5 divided by 365 equals 1.45. We estimate that total U.S. exports to all destination regions in the first 3 months of 2022 have been averaging 11 BCF per day, about 27 BCM total, already 1.5 BCF per day higher than the same period last year. But let's look at deliveries to Europe, and the EU specifically, including the 2021 average and how it's faring in 2022. The U.S. became the largest supplier of LNG to Europe in 2021, with Qatar and Russia supplying the bulk of the rest. In 2021, U.S.-sourced cargoes delivered an average 3.4 BCF per day to Europe, equivalent to 35.2 BCM for the year. Of that, nearly 70%, or 2.3 BCF per day, or 23.6 BCM per year, went to terminals in the EU 27 countries, including 0.6 BCF per day, or 6.1 BCM per year, to Spain, 0.5 BCF per day, or 4.8 BCM per year, a piece to France and the Netherlands, and the remaining 0.8 BCF per day, or 7.8 BCM per year, sprinkled across the other EU countries. As for the 32%, about 1.1 BCF per day, or 11.6 BCM per year, went to non-EU countries, almost all of that was split between the two largest non-EU importers, the UK and Turkey, with 0.5 BCF per day, or 5.5 BCM per year, apiece. If the 15 BCM minimum target applies strictly to the EU 27, US offtakers would need to increase their deliveries to those countries to 38.6 BCM this year, or 23.6 plus 15 equals 38.6, or about 3.7 BCF per day. Assuming the EU exports don't come at the expense of the UK and Turkey, that would imply that the US sends a total of 50.2 BCM, 35.2 plus 15 equals 50.2, 4.85 BCF per day, to the entirety of Europe. However, there was a surge in US LNG exports to Europe starting in the fourth quarter of 2021, and that momentum has kept up through the first quarter of this year. Next, we tally how those increases stack up to the announced targets, homing in on the volumes for January and February 2022, but leaving out March for now, since this month's vessel data is incomplete. In January and February, overall volumes to Europe averaged a whopping 8.1 BCF per day, up 4.7 BCF per day, or nearly 140% from the 2021 full-year average. That's 13.6 BCM total for the 2 months, which means that in just 2 months, deliveries already amount to nearly 40% of the full-year 2021 total of 35.2 BCM. Volumes to the EU in January to February averaged 5.4 BCF per day, more than double the 2021 average, and more than four times the volume sent to the EU in the same two-month period last year. The bulk of the incremental LNG this year landed in France and Spain, with the rest landing in the Netherlands and other EU nations. Deliveries to non-EU countries rose at about the same rate as EU countries to an average 2.7 BCF per day, or 4.6 BCM total, in January to February, up from 1.1 BCF per day, or 11.6 BCM total, in full year 2021. With the increase almost evenly split between the UK and Turkey. The bottom line? The big shift toward Europe has already happened. US LNG producers slash offtakers are already sending way more than that incremental 1.45 BCF per day to EU countries, even with additional volumes also going to non-EU countries. If they keep up the current pace, US exports to the EU would more than double in 2022 to just over 56 BCM, up more than 30 BCM from last year, blowing the 15 BCM target out of the water. That's even with the non-EU countries also keeping pace with their early 2022 gains and picking up an incremental 16 BCM this year. Clearly, the question is not so much whether US LNG exporters can meet the 15 BCM goal, but whether market conditions will support a year-long push to send so much extra LNG to the EU. An increase in liquefaction capacity along the US Gulf Coast, as well as staggeringly attractive economics, have spurred the substantial swing in LNG supply toward Europe in the past 6 months or so. As we've discussed in a number of recent blogs, Cheniere completed its sixth liquefaction train at Sabine Pass in Louisiana in early February, and additional exports look to be forthcoming. Cheniere recently received an export license from the Department of Energy, or DOE, for an additional 261 BCF per year or 0.72 BCF per day to non-free trade agreement, non-FTA, countries, above and beyond its original authorization, to help facilitate more spot market peak production sales from its existing terminals, Sabine Pass and Corpus Christi. Given the favorable economics, Cheniere and others are investing in upgrades so they can operate at higher levels and squeeze even more LNG from existing plants. Sempra Energy, which operates the Cameron LNG facility in Louisiana, expects to gain about 1 million tons per annum in capacity from its three liquefaction trains through debottlenecking efforts, and that capacity has already been sold to existing off-takers. We can also expect more upside in capacity from Venture Global's new Calcasieu Pass facility in Louisiana, which has been progressing through the testing phase and has already begun exporting cargoes. The terminal is expected to be placed in full commercial service in late 2022/early 2023, but will likely continue to export cargoes in the meantime, and its offtake contracts are mostly held either by European utilities or portfolio players that tend to have more destination flexibility. That's not to say there aren't challenges and market disruptions looming. The situation in Europe continues to stoke heavy competition for LNG supply, particularly between Europe and Asia, the biggest LNG-consuming regions, but also Latin America. The incremental U.S. exports to Europe in recent months have happened at the expense of deliveries to Asia, which were cut by more than half to average just under 2 BCF per day in January to February, from 4.3 BCF per day in the same period last year. This was possible because Asian consumers became well supplied by late 2021 and, for the most part, lost their appetite for outbidding the sky-high European prices. That could change if Asia finds itself short enough. For example, an earthquake in Japan a couple weeks ago knocked some coal-fired generation offline, leaving Japanese buyers to shop for spot LNG cargoes to help offset the coal power outages. The incident pushed prompt Japan-Korea Marker, or JKM, futures prices above European prices for the first time in months and could pull some cargoes away from Europe if it persists. At the same time, pandemic-related lockdowns in China are signaling demand destruction in the near term. There's also the possibility that as Russia loses its share of European markets, it would potentially send more to Asia. In general, however, barring natural disasters and other short-term disruptions, as Europe tries to wean itself off Russian gas and prices there soar to new heights, Asian consumers may well turn increasingly to coal and other options rather than compete for LNG supply at those price levels. We should also note that U.S. deliveries to Latin America were well below last year this January and February, but they typically rise during the Northern Hemisphere summer, so markets could tighten further as seasonal demand emerges from the Southern Hemisphere. However, as we alluded to above, U.S. exports to the EU wouldn't have to sustain early 2022 levels to meet the 15 BCM target. If they rose at even half the pace of January to February through the rest of the year, the gains would easily cover the 15 BCM increase. In other words, the incremental 15 BCM is a low bar, not only entirely achievable, but the U.S. is likely to clear it with room to spare. Rather, the much bigger deal and where the Joint Task Force could have sweeping implications for the U.S. gas market is in its support of LNG and gas infrastructure in the U.S., including expediting approvals for pending project applications, signaling a decidedly more accepting stance toward hydrocarbon development. In last week's blog about crude production, we suggested that a positive signal from the administration could help spur new growth, and this development appears to show that the winds may be shifting. It's likely no coincidence that just the day before the U.S.-EU joint statement last week, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, walked back its revamped project review standards for new and pending projects after issuing the more stringent policy statements just last month, an unprecedented reversal of policy. With the new review process suspended and relegated to draft status, prospective LNG terminals are unexpectedly finding themselves in a less contentious regulatory environment, which has already translated to several project approvals. On the same day it voted to suspend the new policy statements, FERC approved certificates for three pending pipeline projects that otherwise would have been subject to the new standards, including two gas pipeline projects, the Evangeline Pass expansion and Columbia Gulf Transmission's East Lateral Express, that are designed to help supply Venture Global's Plaquemines LNG export facility, among others. Respect was written by Otis Redding and originally released in June 1965 as a single from Redding's third studio album, Otis Blue/Otis Redding Sing Soul. It went to number 35 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Aretha Franklin recorded her version of the song on Valentine's Day 1967. In her version, she flipped the gender, resulting in a different narrative that helped make the song an anthem of the feminist movement. Produced by Jerry Wexler, the song was released as a single in April 1967 and went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA. It appears as the first song on Franklin's 10th studio album, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. Personnel on the record were Aretha Franklin, on lead vocals and piano, Spooner Oldham, on Hammond B3 organ, Chips Moman, Jimmy Johnson on guitars, Tommy Coghill on bass, Roger Hawkins on drums, King Curtis, Charles Chalmers on tenor sax, Willie Bridges on baritone sax, Melvin Lasty on cornet, and Carolyn Franklin, Irma Franklin, on backing vocals. I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You was recorded in January and February 1967 at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Atlantic Recording Studio in New York City. Produced by Jerry Wexler, the album was released in March 1967 and went to number 2 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified gold by the RIAA. Two top 10 singles were released from the LP. Aretha Franklin was an American singer, songwriter, pianist, and actress. She released 38 studio albums, 6 live albums, 38 compilation albums, and 131 singles. She appeared in 10 motion pictures. She won 18 Grammy Awards, a Grammy Legend Award, and a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. She is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame, and the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, and has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Franklin received a Kennedy Center Honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and a National Arts Medal. She died at her home in Detroit in August 2018 at the age of 76.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.